It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. Just like John Fox said, it's the 11th day of October, 2018. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you go if you would like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the hours in which this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Yes, indeed, if you do and pick yourself out a screen name and password, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Laborman and Little Thunder and BT Blom. And somebody will moderate, if only me. So have a blast and come on by. The conversation is fine. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Ace, for letting me know. Hot and true on both thorny streams, Monsieur Kincaid. Yeah, merci beaucoup, Brother Deacon Asa. Don't make me do my terrible French accent, please. There are people listening. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And it is, in fact, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And we got lots of thorns. Lots and lots of thorns. It's all thorns. There's really no roses. It's just thorns. Kind of like the bouquets that Morticia used to carry around on the Addams Family. Yeah, I know. Well, in the aftermath of what is going to obviously be a horror in the Florida Panhandle and north of it, into Georgia, and God only knows what'll happen once the rain starts pouring in the Carolinas, a gentle reminder. I got to thinking about this earlier today. I think we had better start maybe every program from now on with because I'm taking that columnist at the Washington Post to heart. This is just a little tiny radio program, but if we all get serious about this, maybe the message can begin to amplify and bang around a little bit and make something happen. There's Steve from Georgistan, pinch hit utility midweek chat room moderator and all around great guy, jumping in for some moderating fun in the chat room. Thank you very kindly, Steve, for popping by. At the beginning of every program, I or someone should make mention of the fact that we have something like 12 years, and we don't even really have 12 years to get serious. Not even to get serious. 12 years to get damn busy on trying to reach a zero carbon emissions planet. And maybe if we just keep that in the forefront of our mind, maybe someday in those 12 years, because 112 years from now, or 50 years from now, or 40 years from now, or 30 years from now, it's going to be too late. But we need to get going on a zero carbon emissions planetary culture. So there's that. So henceforward, if I don't, it's kind of like the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part that I often forget. You got to remind me. Hey, Bob, 12 years, buddy, 12 years. So if I don't, you do. Okay. Is that, can we have a deal there? Yeah, please. Thank you. Please. And thank you. So that, now, let's see. What else? Program note. This is going to be one of those truncated programs. So will tomorrow, so will Monday, and so will Tuesday. I'll be covering for Malloy tonight, tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday. He and Kathy got in touch with me earlier today to let me know that when the storm passed through last night, it caused no end of problems there at the magnificent Malloy Studios in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, that it will require a few days to straighten all of that out. So Mike and Kathy will be away from the mic, well, not off the air, because Mike's not going to be away from Mike. But Mike and Kathy will be off the air this evening, tomorrow, and Monday and Tuesday, and you'll get me instead. So all of those programs here at the Horn will be from 6 to 8 p.m. instead of the usual 6 to 9 p.m. With the standard disclaimer that we'll shut down here at about 8 p.m. Eastern time in order to give me, so that I can turn things around and reboot everything and get ready to stream out to Progressive Voices. Okay? So that's where that stands. Now, we have thanks. We have thanks to send out this evening to our, because we begin every program by thanking our subscribers. Thank you very kindly indeed to a brand new subscriber, Sean. I was tickled to hear from Sean earlier today. And we welcome Sean to the family. Sean represents a brand new pin that we can put in the Horn Global Map for folks who are participating and engaging in this little conversation. I got a note earlier today from Sean. Just wanted to let you know that I'm a new listener, and I think that you and your callers and contributors are amazing. I live in New Zealand, but my dad's American, and I became obsessed with the crazy U.S. politics and religion around 2011. What a year. Oh, yes, I remember. I can't beat the obsession, so it's shows like yours that keep me sane. It's a terrible thing that your show has to struggle for money, so I've set up a recurring donation, which I hope will help. Thank you for all that you do, and please do all you can to keep yourself sane and healthy. Sincerely, Sean in New Zealand. Thank you so very much, Sean. Thank you so very much indeed. I'll do everything I can to keep from running around tearing at my clothing and you know, barking like a hoot owl and eating dirt and running rabbits. There's no guarantees, of course, but that's my promise. And welcome to the community. Chime in anytime, share your thoughts, and you know, participate as you see fit, because that's what sets this program apart, at least in my opinion, from some other programs, is the degree to which it's a neighborly conversation. So thank you, Sean. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you to all of our subscribers. Thanks very kindly to Mary Bell in Kansas. Thank you, Mary Bell. Thanks very kindly to Christopher in Oregon. Thank you kindly to Brendan, also in Oregon. Thanks very much to John in Maryland. And thanks to Tony in Chico. And thanks very much to Paul from Parts Unknown. That's tremendous. Thank you, one and all. Thank you, Libby. Again, thank you, Sean. Thank you, Matthew. And thank you to our anonymous friend, the rocket scientist. So those are our subscribers for this day. If you would like to be a subscriber, you can feel free to jump in and just click the PayPal button at headon.live and then put in, you know, $10. $10 a month works out to about 16 cents an hour. That's what is that, a tenth of a? No, it's like a 20th. No, well, yeah, okay, maybe it's like a 25th of a cup of coffee shop coffee. And that's what will set you back if you want to be a part of keeping this this attempt at independent, liberal, progressive, commercial free broadcasting on the air. Thanks also going out overnight to Bill. With small or large, the time has come to be heard from. Thank you, Bill, in Florida. And thank you to Janice. Thank you very kindly indeed. That means that we have taken the fundraising goal that we had last night. You know, we closed last night at $447, and we got down to no, 547. We got down to 467. So we add in the $200 for this evening. The fundraising goal is $667. And hopefully we will take that down in the next couple of hours because, well, that's how we stay on the air. And, you know, we're all short of things like Buy Gold Now ads and whatnot. So, 667. Hey, that's only 10 people. It's only 10 people at $66, or more importantly, 66 people at $10. And new subscribers or whatever. Oh boy, we got 66 people at $10. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for helping to keep us on the air here. There's a big old pile of bills, and it's frightening. It's a scary way to run a radio program, but you know, that's how we have to do it. And then of course there's also Patreon. If you do the Patreon thing, you won't even be billed until November the 1st for the month of October. So that's a possibility as well. Hey, thanks, Kevin. We're at 657 now. That's huge. Thank you very kindly indeed. Now, where to go to begin the program? There's a lot of stuff on my mind, and I have a feeling I'm not going to have any problem filling up 4 hours of programming this evening. And as much as it is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Excellent. 647. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you a ton. Thank you so very much. Down to 647. Thank you. Then Thorn in the Side Thursday is reserved for, you know, the real kind of stuff. And I've had ideas all day long about where the program should go with all of that. And then, as often happens, something goes on to make me shift gears and think, no, we've got to go in a different direction. By the way, Scott pointing out, Hurricane Michael visits Florida and heads north for the greatest hoax ever. Sure is causing historical levels of damage. I know. I saw a graph earlier today, and as far as line graphs go, 2018 just went whoop, in terms, or 2017 went like that, and 2018 is going to be the same. Just straight up. in terms of graphic representations of cost and loss from hurricanes. And, of course, here we are. It's the 11th of October. It's a little, well, this once upon a time would have been considered to be a little bit late for storms of this magnitude. Well, it's not anymore. As Brother Deacon Asa points out, maybe we should put up a doomsday countdown clock on the Horn website over at headon.live. It's not a terrible idea at all. And so, perhaps, yeah. And I guess we would use, what, 12 years from this past Sunday, Brother Deacon Asa? Not a bad idea at all. Because, well, I'm sorry, Flavio. I mean, Flavio just said, don't you dare play Kanye's Hallucination. I heard enough of it on Randy's show. Listen, I don't produce Randy's show. I mean, I produce this program. And I'm sorry if you've already heard it, but you're going to get to hear it again because, well, I've got a little, maybe different interpretation on the whys and wherefores. And because bringing up this topic, it's almost unavoidable. Earlier today, I get a note every now and then from Ron in Raleigh, which he has begun titling Every Damn Day. And today, Ron in Raleigh wrote, well, today's outrage was the meeting of the Brain Trust at the White House. Donnie Dimwit met with the, I refuse to refer to him as ye, this idiot does not get to rewrite the English language because of, you know, his bizarre, mentally challenged desire to market. Donnie Dimwit met with the Dennis Rodman, James Brown, and Kid Schlock. Imagine, if you will, Barack Obama inviting some foul-mouthed rapper to the White House, dropping F-bombs and motherfuckers all over the place. I haven't heard a blinking word from the right-wing media. Can you say double standard? Oh, well, yeah. But there's more to it than that. Now, ostensibly, the reason for this bizarre dog and pony show at the White House had something. Let's see. What did the White House say? The discussion will be centered on President Trump's historic work to benefit all Americans, such as urban revitalization, the creation of opportunity zones, new workforce training programs, record highs in African-American unemployment, the creation of manufacturing jobs, ideas from his meeting with African-American pastors, potential future clemencies, and addressing the massive violent crime surge in Chicago. Yeah. No. So, for the sake of context, and with all due apologies to Flavio and anybody else who is put off by this, let's put all of this in context. Yes, all of the aforementioned, as Ron pointed out, got together at the White House today, but the real takeaway clip. Now there's a clip of Jim Brown standing at a microphone outside the White House saying, "I don't think we need to be kneeling for the national anthem. We need to respect the flag," thereby proving that no matter what kind of fantastic running back he was, he is now officially an old coot. Who does not understand why Colin Kaepernick began the movement to kneel for the national anthem. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with the flag. It has everything to do with young black men being too often killed by the police. I, the whitest man in America, understand that. And if I, the whitest man in America, can understand that, then I'm guessing anyone who doesn't understand that is willfully not understanding that. Know what I mean? But no, the takeaway was the rapper formerly known as Kanye West, now referred to simply as The. Jesus. Hi, I'm Definite Article. Maybe he could write it in runes. You know, the Nazi maggots who love the chlamydia Claudius there. They love them some runic writing and stuff. Anybody out there in the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department want to figure out how to write the in Norse runes? Maybe not. Little maggot lurkers around here liable to go out and get it tattooed on their foreheads or something. Fucking morons. No, that's Monday. So, regardless of what the agenda was said to be, the main attraction, you know, kid schlock is all washed up. Dennis Rodman, huh? James Brown, we dealt with. That leaves the. And that leaves, yeah. I mean, look, if you want to, Flavio, if you want to get all Odysseus-like and lash yourself to the mast and put beeswax in your ears and stuff like that, we don't have any videos, so I can't give you, like, the secret high sign to let you know when it's okay to take them out. No, lash yourself to the mast like Odysseus and take it like an ancient Greek hero. That didn't come out right, did it? Never mind. So this is the walkaway quote. This is the one that's got the country buzzing, and you know, I try to be above pop culture, but sometimes pop culture, it's pop culture for a reason, and it has the relevance that it has because of the way it resonates in our popular culture. My head's hurting already. Calgon, take me away. Some hot shot. Here's his. Never mind. Brother Deacon Asa asking, does anyone remember the screeching and caterwauling of the maggots when President Barack Hussein Obama invited Common the rapper to the White House that one single time? And Common's material is always very polite and positive. Oh, I do. I do. Yeah. For the way the white wing maggots and the white wing media behaved, you would have thought he walked into the White House and said, "Excuse me while I whip this out." Easier for me to just do that than go and dig up the clip and put it in the player. But sometimes pop culture is worth paying attention to, and I think I know why this was done. I think Kid Schlock and James Brown and Dennis Rodman were all cover for the. Hey, Michael in Madison. You out there, buddy? Because I trust Michael in Madison implicitly on matters of pop culture. If you're out there, Michael, I wonder if my analysis here is going to jibe or have any resonance with you. Because I think I know something here. Maybe somebody else has already gotten to this. So first, the clip, okay?
Guys, non-political, no bullshit, put the beep on it, however you want to do it, 5 seconds delay, and just goes in and gets it done. Right now, you gave me the heart to go to Adidas, because at Adidas...
Okay, so there's an Adidas ad, and he's sitting in front of the desk, they've cleared off Julius Geezer's desk, so there's just a broad expanse of wood between him and the. for this bizarre-ass rant.
And looks up to you, looks up to Ralph Lauren, looks up to American industry guys. Non-political, no bullshit, put the beep on it, however you want to do it, 5 seconds delay, and just goes in and gets it done. Right now, you gave me the heart to go to Adidas, because at Adidas, when I went in 2015, we were a $14 billion company, losing $2 billion a year. Now we have a $38 billion market cap. It's called the Yeezy Effect. And I went to Casper, we had a meeting in Chicago, and I said, you have to bring manufacturing onshore, not even shore, into the core. It's not about the borders, the core of Adidas, and Chicago is the core of Middle America. We have to make Middle America strong. So I had the balls, because I have enough balls to put on this hat. I mean, this Adidas thing made me a billionaire, and I could have lost $200 million walking away from that deal. But even with that, I knew it was more important for me to take the chance of walking away from that deal than to have no fathers in Chicago with no homes. And when we do have prison reprobation for no, because it's habilitation, not rehabilitation, because they didn't have the abilities in the first place.
Did he say prison reparations? I think he said prison reparations. Anybody else in America, any other black man in America says reparations, and white folks, America is going to have a baby. Kittens with crocheted tails. Woo, not reparations. I never owned no slaves. He said reparations. But that's the portion of the unhinged The Rant. That's a big old advertisement for Adidas. Marty pointing out Adidas. I guess I'll buy Nike from now on. Of course, here's the difference. There aren't going to be any liberals, any progressives, what have you, who are going to make videos of them burning Adidas shit that they've already paid for. That's something that maggots do. Because maggots, well, to quote that great philosopher and curmudgeon, Yosemite Sam, maggots is so stupid. So that's part of the that's part of it. That's the ad part of the rant about what a super genius Kanye West is. Otherwise known as The. Mm-hmm. And then there was the moment when he ran up to hug on Donald Trump. And that must have, Donald's probably still showering with bleach. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Dustin. Dustin, in regard to my rune remarks, as a pagan, I find the idea of giving the bleak wing access to my beliefs to be insulting. Well, sorry, Dustin, you're just going to have to suffer a little bit, my friend, because the Nazis have been into Nordic mythology for rather quite some time. But yeah, The ran up and was hugging and a smolicking on Julius Geezer like he was his daddy or something. Oh my God, it was some significantly weird shit. Probably of all the weirdness there was, the weirdest was very likely the bit about the power of the maggot hat. I know the article gets confusing after a while, but. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes there's just breathtaking stupidity. And so you get this.
It was something about when I put this hat on and made me feel like Superman. You made a Superman. That was
okay. This is he's talking about the transformative power of his made in China by some little kid chained to a table maggot hat. And most of America, the part of America that has lots of functioning brain cells, was saying, what? Huh? Kind of lost? So let's, I want to make sure this is gained up enough that we get it in all its glory. You ready? If hockey puck is necessary, don't, stand not on the order of thy hockey puck, but hockey puck at once.
It was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman. You made a Superman. That's my favorite superhero. And you made a Superman cape. For me, also as a guy that looks up to you, looks up to Rapparin, looks up to American industry guys. Non-political, no bullshit, put the beep on it, however you want to do it, 5 seconds delay.
See, that's what went on before the Adidas commercial. We're kind of running this in reverse. It gave me power, he said. It was like a maggot hat is like a Superman cape. And it was in that moment when I said, oh, hold on. God damn it, wait a minute. I know what this is about. I know what this is about. This is why James Brown was covered. This is or Jim Brown, not James Brown. This is why Jim Brown was covered. This is why the Kid Schlock was covered. This is why the references to the African American pastors was cover. Oh dear. I have a feeling Tracy is already having a problem. I know when I get these single line, just a few letters, notes from Tracy, for instance, in this case, what the entire fuck? Yeah. It's Sparky in the chat room having folded space to become man cave says, I knew Bob was going to talk about this goofball. Well, sometimes you just gotta. I know, Ron in the soon-to-be-frozen North says, what can you say about a country that hangs on every action by Kanye and the Kardashians? Oh, there's lots of things you can say, Ron. It's just that none of them are good. Megan says, give Dustin a shout-out from me, a fellow pagan. I don't like the dark side of white supremacists in neo-paganism any more than he does. I understand. Bill in Allentown says, why don't you call him the West? Well, because he doesn't call himself the West. He merely calls himself the. Y-E, pronounced the. Not ye, not yay, the. As in the old general store. We went through this. Steve from Georgia Stan pointing out, yeah, that's the buzz of the day. This dude's is a few fries short of a happy meal, man. Matt in San Francisco says, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. So, 45, Dolt 45, found someone to invite to the Oval that ranted and raved to the point of making Donald look mellow. Unbelievable. Exactly. It comes in print, but I can still describe it because this is theater of the mind. Ron in the not-yet-frozen North responds to me by saying, Y-E, fuck? Yes, the fuck? Precisely. Ron in Raleigh says, it's amazing. The American people will throw money at some of the stupidest people. Kanye talks a bunch of smack about being a near billionaire when his net worth is around $160 million. Dirty South rapper Master P is worth $350 million, and Jay-Z's worth $650 million, and P. Diddy, or whatever he's calling himself these days, smokes Kanye with $735 million. So shut the fuck up about your big deals. He's as, and this is important, as big a liar as Trump. Precisely. So now all we have to do is try to figure out why. Now all we have to do is try to figure out what is driving this crazy train. And that is why I am here. Alexander with a message. This cooning white supremacist of color has officially lost his damn mind. Then again, you have to have one to lose one. Tracy continues, what the entire fuck? I never thought it would be possible that someone could make Trump sound intelligent. It just makes the video I sent you today even more on point. Oh my God, he just set black people back 300 years. It's a sort of middle passage of the mind in the wrong direction. Okay, so Michael and Madison is on board. Sorry, Bob, tuned in late, but did you get the snippet yet? This was by far the most important part of the's rant. As I said on Facebook, in case you were still wondering if the 2016 presidential election was about male insecurity, fragility, and misogyny, Kanye took to the Oval Office today to lay it all bare. This snippet from his rant should be dissected in college political science, sociology, and psychology classes for the next 1,000 years if we make it that long, which is doubtful. Maybe the sentient cockroaches, the six-foot-tall ones, who worship us as gods, will study it in their universities 500 million years from now when discussing the fall of human civilization or the rise of the gods. You know, you got to remember, Michael, we're going to be gods. And the snippet in question, and I'll save you from the audio. This is for you, Flavio. The said, I think it's the bravery that helps you beat this game called life. You know, they try to scare me to not wear this hat. My own friends, but this hat, it gives me power in a way. My dad and my mom separated, so I didn't have a lot of male energy in my home. Also, I'm married to a family that, you know, not a lot of male energy going on. That's a, that's a reference to all the Kardashians plus, what's her name? And not a lot of male energy going on. It's beautiful, though. I love Hillary. I love everyone. But the campaign, I'm with her, just didn't make me feel as a guy that didn't get to see my dad all the time, like a guy that could play catch with his son. It was something about when I put this hat on. It made me feel, and that's the audio clip that I've just played. It made me feel like Superman. You made a Superman. That's my favorite superhero. And you made a Superman cape. And also, as a guy that looks up to you and looks up to Ralph Lauren, that looks up to American industry guys, non-political, no bullshit, put the beep on it however you want to do it, 5 seconds delay, and just goes in and gets it done. There's one word I want you to focus on. Superman. Superman. Because that, yeah, daddy issues, those are pretty clear. But that, Superman, that right there is the tell. There are multiple motivations for this wackiness today. Part of it is to try to make Jamal Khashoggi disappear from the 15 millisecond news cycle. More on that in a minute. Or several. But the other part, the part that was given away by the use of the word Superman, and the reason the was the person brought in to do this, is because of the historic feud. Yes, I use that term. The historic feud between the and Taylor Swift. This goes back a few years to the assaulting her during some awards show because, again, he was probably off his meds and in the manic phase and tried to upstage her because he felt like she didn't deserve some award that she'd won, plus skinny white girl. And when I heard that clip, I said, wait, What? And then I said, yeah. Because sometimes you have to play the record backwards. For the younger generation. Well, no, there's a resurgence in vinyl, although people appreciate vinyl now because it's harder to get, so you'd never want to wreck a stylus by playing something backwards. But once upon a time, we played vinyl backwards to hear the secret messages from bands like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and the Beatles. Superman. Yeah. Superman. Yeah, that's Taylor Swift. That's Taylor Swift with a song that she wrote and sang and performed called Superman. Because this is all some sort of twisted, you know, everybody knows that the has a real sick obsession with Beyonce. What is less realized is that he is equally hung up on Taylor Swift, and so too for the last week or so has been Geezer Disgustus. Because Taylor Swift told people to go out and register to vote, and tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of young people, 18 and over, went out and registered to vote. And they've been voting for a lot of these kids. You kids, get off my lawn. A lot of these young people have been voting for Taylor Swift. Say your average 19-year-old kid has been voting for Taylor Swift in People's Choice Awards and so forth for 10 years. So they understand inherently and implicitly the power of the vote. Because they were the ones who propelled her to be more popular, in one instance, than Beyoncé, and certainly more popular than The. Taylor Swift is the reason for this summit of madness in the White House today. It seemed obvious to me, but then again, that's the problem with things like this. It seems obvious to me, and it may not seem obvious to you. But this makes an abundance of sense. And you know what? If I was whatever Kardashian it is that The is married to, I'd be a little pissed. Because he's not sending out subliminal messages about her. In fact, he just talked about the fact that he married into a real Looney Tunes kind of family. So that's what that line about you made me feel like Superman. I put on a cape when I put on your hat. That's what that's about. And The may not even know that's what that's about. It's just that she's burrowed that far into his consciousness and under his skin and into his psyche so that it's sneaking out. As Michael put it in his note, hashtag paging Dr. Freud. And she's way the hell under Dolt 45's skin, too. Because she is immensely more popular than he is. Look at her Instagram account. Look at her on anywhere on social media. She's got a vast reach that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini can only dream of if there are still enough active spirochetes to give him the capacity to dream. So, just in case you were wondering about it, that's my answer. And I feel pretty good about it. Matt, I wonder if keeping up with the Kardashians' ratings are slipping. Having been raised by a bipolar mom, I got news for Kanye. He needs to be medicated. Does this mean that in the near future we can have a parade of pickup trucks roaring down a street in Alabama with American flags flying while blasting Kanye music with the N-word reverberating from their Ford F-150s? Just when you think it can't get any crazier. And see, this is part of the fundamental disrespect of this white supremacist regime for people of color. They think black folks will just fall over themselves and start loving them some Trump because he brought out, a half-crazed, okay, we're being charitable, dude who refers to himself as a definite article and a forgotten football star, and a white guy from Michigan who rhymed the words things and things in the most famous song he ever wrote. And so, Warrior Witch in the chat room points out, the Taylor Swift obsession is starting to echo the one with Hillary. Precisely. That's why there was the long thing about Hillary in his unhinged little rant today. Maybe it helps. Because when you see this kind of madness going on, it's easy to just kind of have it blow your hair back with the crazy. But there is calculation involved. So just, you know, tuck that away. Flavio pointing out, Taylor Swift gets people to register to vote, but not the pussy grabber in chief or Kavanaugh. Well, that's the bottom line. She did get tens of thousands of young people to register to vote. If she gets them to the polls, that's when it gets really interesting. Because, among other things, she has said that she'll be voting for Phil Bredesen. Well, Phil Bredesen's got some problems. He made one of those Joe Manchin calculations with regard to Brat Kavanaugh. And granted, talking about video on the radio is difficult, but if you have not yet seen the close-up video of Ms. Ashley during the bogus swearing-in ceremony, and if you've not had an opportunity to just sort of let the body language wash over you, because it's creepy as hell. I mean, it's, can you still hear the lambs, Clarice? Creepy. The way that Brat Kavanaugh, her husband, grasps her and squeezes her arm and puts his hand on her neck like it's some sort of goddamn Vulcan death grip. And she's sitting there making that forced little smile like she's trying to hold in a fart. Creepy. And a lot of people have looked at that and went, hey, that's a woman who's lived through some domestic violence. That is an abused spouse. Meanwhile, of course, Melanoma said something along the lines of, if you've been assaulted and you don't have hard evidence, shut up. To which many of the American people said, I really don't care, do you? But Phil Bredesen's in trouble. I've seen there are some polls out there that show Marsha Gedneth Blackburn pulling ahead by 6-8 points in the polls. Largely because Phil Bredesen ran away his own base. All he had to do is say, hey, not in the Senate yet. Not taking a position on the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. It would have been kind of weaselly, but it still would have been okay-ish. Instead, though, he said, well, if I was in the Senate, I'd be a-voting for the Brat Kavanaugh's what I'd be a-doing. And according to Politico, take that for what it's worth, he's got volunteers now bailing out. Who just don't see any point in pouring their energy into his race when he's made it clear that he's not going to stand up for women who have dealt with sexual assault. Survived sexual assault. The direct quote was, I watched it very closely, and finally I just came to the conclusion that, all things being equal, I did not think that those allegations rose to the level of disqualification from the Supreme Court. Whew, really, did you not? then we got to wonder what would. And so people like Rhonda McDowell from Memphis said, as a woman voter in Tennessee, I felt torpedoed by the statement. I was so conflicted about it for a while, but the more I think about these candidates who are down the ballot, the more I think I don't want to cut off my nose to spite my face here. And, Vanderbilt grad student Will Morse said, if it's a political decision, that means he's compromising his values, and if it's not a political decision, that means he doesn't share the same values I do. It makes it difficult to keep volunteering and being as supportive as I was. And this actually matters, because there is not a universe in which Phil Bredesen is not a better answer to who should be the next senator from Tennessee than Marsha Gedness Blackburn. At all, ever. Because Marsha Gedness Blackburn is as crazy as a sprayed roach at a decon party. And not only would Marsha Gedness Blackburn not believe Dr. Ford, Marsha Gedness Blackburn would probably try to procure other people for Brett Kavanaugh to try to rape. Oof. And it's a net win if you take a red state Senate seat away from a red state and make it blue. But God, could somebody not have had a little talk with this old white man? I guess not. Well, apparently my explanation of Kanye has some degree of resonance. Tracy just said, damn white women, black man's kryptonite. It seems obvious enough to me that the has Taylor Swift pretty big on the mind. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to really fuck with you want to really fuck with the's mind? And I don't follow pop culture closely enough. Do Taylor Swift and Beyonce hate each other or anything? Because if they don't, it would be freaking awesome if they would do a joint appearance and reiterate how important it is for people to register to vote. And that might very well make the tear at his clothes, bark like a barn owl, and eat dirt and run rabbits in the yard. Because he ain't screwed down real tight. Michael and Madison with an observation. The Nazi boys call him God Emperor. Yeezy calls him Superman, or whoever Superman's daddy was. Wouldn't that be Jor-El? Jor-El of Krypton, I guess, yes. America has gone from wanting a president that they'd like to have a beer with to wanting a president that can be their daddy and can play catch with. Jesus H. Christ. Yeah, him too. Personally, I believe Kanye's public display of insanity has more to do with Barack Obama than Tay-Tay. Yeezy was on his shit long before she ever voiced a singular political opinion. A week ago, Nazi boys still considered her their Aryan goddess, taking her political silence as a sign of endorsement. But the first black president, a fellow Chicago man, called him a jackass in both 2009 and again in 2012, doubling down the second time and stating he preferred his former collaborator and mentor, Jay-Z. It had to cut Kanye deep. He had to sit and watch as Jay-Z and Beyonce went to the White House, met with the Obamas, toured on behalf of Obama's presidential campaigns, I believe he desperately wanted Barack to be his father. Instead, the man shunned him as the jackass that he is. It's similar to what got set off in Trump's mind after Barack roasted his ass for 5 solid minutes at the correspondents' dinner in 2011. Getting burned by Barack has the power to turn jackass celebrities into wannabe Bond villains. No wonder Michelle talked about, when they go low, we go high. Perhaps she was talking to her husband, directly. I, for one, hope we hear more from Barack Obama in years to come, but I pray he doesn't insult any more thin-skinned, power-mad celebrity idiots. It was satisfying at the time, but, well, I guess grievance can be an animating force, can't it? Jack in Shreveport asks, has the been out-originalized by the band The, or will he just be confused with them since you can't really say... and pronounced the indefinite article and not sound wrong. Nope, the Superman thing was not obvious to me, being unaware of that particular Taylor Swift song. Glad you caught it. The only thing left Supermanish I could think of was the movie or whatever named Losing Superman or Crapping Superman or something. Wasn't there some kind of conservative reaction to something Superman-ish? Anyway, I think you got something there with your analysis of what was happening with that conversation. It's the old DJ thing. And I don't even know how... I don't even know how a song called Superman by Taylor Swift even found its way into anywhere in my cerebral processing unit. But it did. Ron and Raleigh. well, let's see. This might be worth running. Oh, the glories of queuing stuff up on the fly. I can't believe we're talking about this instead of the most massive hurricane ever to hit the the Florida Gulf Coast. Snoop on The.
They will give you a little bit of factual information. They will give you that. While I ain't ASAP, and that's the future. That's the name that they got. Me and Kobe on our toes like that. These niggas keeping this shit alive, bro. These niggas keeping this shit alive, bro. It's life.
This nigga crazy. Have y'all heard this nigga? This nigga on stage. This nigga crazier than the shit I got on my head.
And radio, and Doc, and 92.3, and everybody, is it just me? Or did you hear that song so many times? You see him on the freak.
I'm losing though.
He was supposed to be doing the show.
I thought he was supposed to be doing a show. I think Snoop is actually sort of gobsmacked, because he's pretty verbal, pretty well spoken, and he's crazy. We're not going to have a lengthy discussion on that word. I can't use it. I won't use it. But So why all this? Well, I think Taylor Swift is part of it. And since we never really know who's listening to the program and we whisper little things out into the universe, Taylor, Beyonce, anybody that knows the two of them, y'all get together and do a voter registration drive and let's all watch the's head explode. Be just like Mars Attacks, you know, with the goldfish bowl over the head and the Nelson Eddy singing the yodeling song, and it just... That's it. Randy answering the previous question. There was a movie called Waiting for Superman about the negative effects of a juvenile detention center. Aha. I think that's probably what... So, if nothing else, maybe that's a little bit helpful in terms of understanding. Because some of the madness just if it's left to just wander around in the universe, it'll hurt you. So we've got at least an answer for A, why the Trump regime did it, and B, the origins of that bizarre off-the-meds rant. Meanwhile, Scott says, here's my take on tea leaf reading of the's remarks. It's not the Kanye, it's just the Scott. You got to learn how to be cool, man. It's connected to a comment Trump made, something about being positive about GOP results in the upcoming midterms, but he still left wiggle room by noting that that he really thinks he could work with the Democrats, definitely work with the Democrats, slow in the driveway. So at least maybe we've gotten that out of the way. They wanted him there to A, try to inoculate against what Taylor Swift has done. And yes, we are all living in an upside-down world now. When Taylor Swift turns out to be a progressive hero and the guy who said George Bush don't care about black people is a right-wing POS. I know. But the other part of it, is much more serious and much more dangerous. And that is the desire to get, because, you know, things can be stand-ins for other things, and it doesn't always have to be on a one-to-one analog basis. The Trump regime needed to get two stories out of the headlines today. They needed to get the fact that he was at a pep rally at one of his clavering rallies while people were having their lives shattered along the Florida Gulf Coast, smack dab in the middle of serious maggot country. They had to try to diminish that. The optics were horrible. Horrible, horrible. That he, and you know, I played a little bit of the audio last night from Erie, PA. That he would stand up there and do his self-aggrandizing shtick while some of his most adoring adherents were scrambling for their very lives, well, it was not a good look for him. But the other thing that they had to get off the airwaves, and by talking about the thing, the crazy bullshit Oval Office meeting, my point is not to highlight it, but to point out what it was meant to hide. And that is the ever more sickening case of Jamal Khashoggi. Jamal Khashoggi is a do you say is or was? Out of a spirit of hope, you say Jamal Khashoggi is a dissident journalist from Saudi Arabia who took up residence in Virginia in the United States and was a contributing writer for the Washington Post, which, of course, Donald Trump hates. He despises the Washington Post with the heat of a million suns. The failing Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos, why are there not investigations? Yeah, of what? The fact that they don't worship you, dumbass? This story is truly dangerous. This story has horrifying ramifications for a definitional reality of where we are. And what I mean by that is that, well, you know by now the backstory. I probably don't need to, but here, just in case you don't. Jamal Khashoggi, the Saudi citizen living, for all intents and purposes, as in exile, as a permanent resident of the United States of America, which is right next door to, it's a step before going after citizenship. It's somebody who intends to be here for the rest of their lives. He showed up at the Turkish embassy ostensibly to get papers necessary for him to be able to wed his beloved. And of course, there is a screen grab or a screen cap from security video showing him entering the Saudi embassy in Istanbul. But there aren't any screen caps of him leaving. And the Turkish authorities have said that they have it on good authority that the reason there aren't any pictures of him leaving is because he left in pieces. That a pair of Saudi security murder squads, a death squad, arrived in Istanbul the same day, and that one of the things they were carrying was a bone saw, and that one of the people who arrived was a forensics expert with a certain degree of expertise in dismembering human bodies into teeny tiny, easily disposable pieces. Okay. There's no way that this isn't a horrifying story. And that doesn't even touch it. But these are of course, not even going to fool with the reverb here. These are our partners in peace, the Saudis. Now, we should probably note as backstory that one of the nastiest things involving our ongoing marriage of convenience with the royal house of Ibn Saud, who just 100 years ago were crawling out of the Dark Ages, is our ongoing commercial relationship with them in the ongoing war crime that is their relentless, murderous assault on Yemen, their neighbor. As background, it was a month ago that Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, you got to say that about Mike Pompeo all the time, went to Congress and certified to the Congress that Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates were, quote, undertaking demonstrable actions to reduce the risk of harm to civilians and civilian infrastructure in Yemen. It was necessary for Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, the warmongering Secretary of State, to do that so that American arms manufacturers, who are up to their earlobes in innocent blood, so that they could continue to sell Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates lots and lots of weapons to slaughter innocent Yemenis with. Former State Department advisor to Saudi Arabia on reducing civilian casualties, Larry Lewis, said that Mike Pompeo's statement was objectively false. Pompeo's remarks were referred to as well as a farce. A farce. Which is a lie that is so ridiculous as to be almost laughable. But that one official said, we should all be ashamed that our government is turning a blind eye to likely war crimes. Not that it would be anything new. But that's some of the backstory, because there is, and it's, go figure, it's even bipartisan in the Congress, this idea that maybe Saudi Arabia and the UAE are doing dirty, filthy, murderous things to innocent non-combatants in Yemen. Amnesty International's Director of Advocacy for Europe and Central Asia, speaking to Think Progress, said that Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, said that Pompeo's certification is purely a political decision, and that it flies in the face of the findings of various human rights groups, humanitarian organizations, and years upon years of actual on-the-ground reporting. Daniel Balson of Amnesty International said, the State Department is placing a bet right now, and they're betting that they can continue defending procurement of military aid to the Saudi coalition while TV screens across the U.S. show images of dead kids. It's not a very good bet. back on August 9th, the Saudis struck a school bus and slaughtered about 40 children, among other things. And then in September, the Saudis said, mistakes were made. And then in a bald-faced, barren lie, Colonel Turki al-Malki said the Saudis hadn't even killed dozens of children, mostly under the age of 13. He said the school bus was a legitimate target. And you know what? In the Saudi mindset, it was. Because the Saudis think they can kill anyone they want to with impunity, and neither the United States nor anyone else on planet Earth will do a goddamn thing about it, because we worship their oil. After the school bus incident, Saudi-led airstrikes killed 22 children and 4 women as they tried to flee their hometown, which was at that time under attack. Also in September, according to Reuters, the Saudi-led coalition took control of the main road linking the port of Hodeidah, which is where most of the food and medical supplies come through, and the capital of Sana'a. They did that to block supplies to the rebels. And the only reason we're involved is because the Houthi rebels are allegedly supported by Iran. This is a filthy little proxy war in which children are being slaughtered as chits in a geopolitical game. Meanwhile, the assault on Hodeidah is probably triggering a full-on famine. And in Yemen, 8.4 million people are facing starvation. And the Saudis are glad of it, because they are sick, because that religiously maniac family that runs the joint is a gang of disgusting psychopaths. In Yemen, right now, as we speak, more than 25% of children there are suffering malnutrition. 900,000 people are desperate for any food they can get whatsoever. 90,000 pregnant women are at risk. UNICEF calls it a living hell for the children of Yemen, and it does not matter to the Royal House of Saudi Arabia or the United Arab Emirates, because they just as soon see them dead. In the name of Allah, of course. According to Merit Zell Rilano, who is a UNICEF representative in Yemen, 11 million children, 80% of the country's under 18 population, are experiencing unstable food supplies, displacement, and disease. But Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, says that the Saudis and the UAE are trying to minimize civilian casualties. Yeah. So that's the background. More background? Okay, more background. How's about this? Oh, that's not the one. Somehow or another, it seems to have disappeared. Well, the Trump Organization, which has been hemorrhaging money, losing millions of dollars, for instance, on their golf course at Turnberry, Scotland, because the Scots don't want a damn thing to do with that nightmare operation. Well, they had a little ray of sunshine. They had a little bit of good news. The Trump International Hotel in New York City has turned a tidy profit this year. No, not because all the maggots coming from bumfuck Alabama and busted knuckle Tennessee are hustling on up to the Big Apple to gaze in wide-eyed wonder at the Trump Tower and staying at the Trump International Hotel. Fuck no. The Trump Organization wouldn't let the average maggot within a country mile of their tawdry dumps. No, they posted a tidy profit because for some reason or another, some travel agent over in Riyadh has decided, coincidentally, I'm sure, that when Saudi princelings stay in New York, they stay at the Trump International Hotel. Howdy-do. Ever wonder why we have an emoluments clause in the first place? Yes, of course, we all understand that that Julius Geezer thinks that emoluments are things that you rub on what Russian hookers and strippers and stuff, makes them all slickety. But emoluments were one of those very special, specific words with specific meanings that were in fashion and in linguistic currency in the late 18th century. And they were deemed payments from foreign powers to to members of the government. And they took time in the course of... that's one of the fascinating things about the Constitution. In some ways, it's a masterpiece of vagary. The hell does high crimes and misdemeanors mean? On the other hand, there are other places where their specificity is quite unavoidably clear. And the Emoluments Clause is one of those places. The Emoluments Clause says that unless the Congress gives the president permission, the president may not receive any emoluments. And yes, a decision by the Saudi royal house to do business only with the president's hotels, that's an emolument. And the reason that the framers did this is because they recognized that that was a backdoor to bribery. And they did not want the president of the United States. It was a young country in 1787. It was a brand new country. And we still had deep ties, and the country itself was factionalized between those who had a preference for France, who made it possible for us to win our revolution, and those who retained loyalty to Mother England, whence they felt a certain kinship. John Adams, for instance, despised the French and cozied right up to the English. his former partner in what was then deemed a crime, Thomas Jefferson, you know, treason against the crown, it was the exact opposite. Jefferson and Ben Franklin, among others, loved the French, adored French culture, couldn't get enough of things French. Bless his heart, Thomas Jefferson, you know, he when he was ambassador to France under George Washington, which they did to get him the hell out of the country, when he went to France and he took Sally Hemings with her so he could rape her whenever he wanted to, he tried to bring back as much of France as he possibly could. He shipped back God only knows how many bottles of wine and books and books and books and books. Those books went on to become the foundation of the Library of Congress. But and of course, Franklin, even at his advanced age, tried to fuck his way through the salons of Paris. And apparently had some success at it. And they both despised England with a purple passion. So there was a reason to put in an emoluments clause, because you don't know which side is going to wind up being in the Oval Office, in the presidency. There was no real Oval Office at the time. But they put in a security measure and said, I don't care who it is, you can't take any bribey looking gifts from foreign countries. But then they provided an out, and they said, unless Congress says you can. But that clause presumes that if you want to take emoluments, you have to say, Mother May I, to the Congress first. Then the Congress passes a law that says, sure, take all you want, and everything's cool. And you really can't complain about it. But never, not once, has the Trump administration, the Trump regime — I actually heard Stephanie Ruhle today on MSNBC refer to it as the Trump regime. I was kind of, well, now. The Trump regime has just said, well, those aren't emoluments. And besides, he's turned he's turned over the operations of it to Beavis and Butthead, or Udi and Cootie, or whatever the hell ever. But the trick there is that he has retained ownership of it, so the emoluments still inure to him. And so, lo and behold, with all of it, with so many of his other hotels swirling the toilet and hemorrhaging money, the Trump International Hotel in New York City is a happy outlier because of all the money that the Saudis are pouring in to the organization in order to, and this, you know, this is a cultural mindset from that region, in order to curry favor with the head man. That's how you do business over there. By showering the money around. And then, of course, isn't there some sort of a Trump-branded establishment in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia? Isn't there? And so that takes us to today. Sort of. It's over a week now that Jamal Khashoggi has been missing. And there's something bizarre and unsettling about the way that the story has developed, insofar as Turkey is a dictatorship being run by Erdogan, Saudi Arabia is a dictatorship by being run by Mohammed bin Salman, son of the king, because the king is a dotard. Coincidence, I'm sure. And you really can't trust either one of those countries as far as you can throw them. And without being mentioned, Israel is in the mix because of the degree to which the Trump regime worked with them to rat fuck our political scene. Hours upon hours upon hours, Khashoggi's fiance waited for him outside the Saudi embassy. The Turks have released images of the assassination squad arriving in Istanbul. And as I mentioned, one official told the New York Times that they brought a bone saw with them. The Turkish official also mentioned that the order to kill Khashoggi had come directly from the royal court. Staff at the Saudi embassy in Istanbul were given the day off, told to clear out, piss off. There was a diplomats' meeting. Involving bone saws, apparently. We know that when Khashoggi arrives at the embassy, there's a black van parked at the consulate. 2 hours after Khashoggi went in, the black van left the consulate and went to the consul general's home. And then a couple of hours later, took off for the airport. And the 15-man squad flew out of Istanbul the same day. Forgive me if this sounds like the sort of stuff the Israelis do. This takes us to Ms. Senghis, who wrote, "At this time, I implore President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump to help shed light on Jamal's disappearance. I also urge Saudi Arabia, especially King Salman and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, to show the same level of sensitivity and release closed-circuit television footage from the consulate." That was Tuesday in the Washington Post. The Saudis responded by saying, "Oh, we're terribly sorry. We don't have closed-circuit footage. We only stream the live video from the cameras and have no way of capturing it," which was so transparently false that it was laughed out of the journalistic atmosphere. Okay. It gets messier and messier and messier. There are bipartisan calls to deal with this disgusting bit of cloak and daggerism. Ben Cardin of Maryland wrote in the Washington Post, "The only profession specifically protected by the U.S. Constitution is the press. This reflection of who we are as a nation emanates out into the world and must always remain a guiding light for truth seekers and truth tellers in pursuit of the societies in which we all aspire to live." One of the things that got Jamal Khashoggi in the shitter with the serene, noble, gracious royal house is the fact that he spoke up in defense of and in support of dissidents who had committed the supreme offense of daring to want a better, more democratic Saudi Arabia. Ben Cardin said what is alleged to have happened to Jamal Khashoggi, if true, would constitute a grotesque form of clandestine brutality ripped from the Kremlin's playbook. But he said, and then he offered thoughts and prayers, blah, blah, blah. But he said, more than that will be needed to pursue justice and accountability and to send a message to the perpetrators that such gross humanitarian rights violations have consequences. So far, Saudi Arabia has unequivocally denied any involvement in Khashoggi's disappearance. But a man who has repeatedly irked the kingdom is missing under grave circumstances after entering one of its diplomatic compounds. Saudi officials must provide answers. A full investigation must occur without delay, with transparent support from all involved parties. Concurrently, the United States should be ready, should ready action in response. And there is talk of triggering the Magnitsky Act to levy sanctions, even without the president's consent, on the Saudi oligarchs. These are a disgusting lot. They stand for everything that is contrary to anything we say we believe about democracy or representative government. They are murderous thugs who rule by fear, and that's part of why Donald Trump loves them so much. To put this in context, you can also recall the recent diplomatic uproar in which and they are still our friends, I hope they remain, although God knows I know it's difficult. Our friends in Canada dared to speak up about the mistreatment of women in Saudi Arabia, and did so through a female representative of the Canadian government. And the Saudis responded by saying, "Well, we're just going to bring all our Saudi citizens and students home from Canada. Fuck you. Sit down. Shut up, woman. If you were supposed to be speaking, God would not have made you a woman." And so that brings us, well, as it always does, that brings us to Geezer Disgustus, who was asked about the Jamal Khashoggi matter and made clear where he stands. This is sickening. This is a violation of every principle of alleged freedom that this country has ever stood for. This is a return to the nightmare days of our support for people like Pinochet and the Shah.
So what good does that do us? There are other things we can do.
What good does that do us? What he means by that is, what good does it do us to call the Saudis to account? What good does that do us? Everything's transactional with this monster.
What good does that do us? There are other things we can do.
Well, do you think they should pay a price if it's
yeah, there'll be something that has to take place. First, I want to find out what happened, and we're looking. Again, this took place in Turkey, and to the best of our knowledge, Khashoggi is not a United States citizen. Is that right? Or
permanent
is that
resident.
Right? He's a permanent resident. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Now, meanwhile, this is a guy who says he's in love with the dictator who is responsible for the death of an American citizen named Otto von Bier. Just bear that in mind. He's not a citizen, is he? Oh, he's a resident. If they told him he was a journalist for the Washington Post, he would have said, fuck him. I hope they did cut him into tiny pieces. Working for the failing Washington Post. We are reaching, it feels like we are reaching some sort of critical mass in regard to the dictatorial urges of this misanthrope.
For knowledge, Khashoggi is not a United States citizen. Is that right? Or
permanent
is that
resident.
Right? He's a permanent resident. Okay. We don't like it, John. We don't like it, and we don't like it even a little bit. But as to whether or not we should stop $110 billion from being spent in this country, knowing they have four or five alternatives, two very good alternatives, that would not be acceptable to me. Okay, but we're looking for the answer, and I think probably you'll have an answer sooner than people think. Thank you very much. I'll see you.
Show me the money. $110 billion. You know, it's not like the Saudis are buying $110 billion worth of fidget spinners. They're buying $110 billion worth of weapons that they use to slaughter women and little children and innocents, non-combatants in Yemen. And because we're dealing with Donald Trump, one has to presume that there's a VIG involved, and somehow or another he's getting his beak wet. Because in the final analysis, this is an organized crime presidency. Plain and simple. And so we began the program with me saying that I'm going to try to commit to mentioning at the beginning of every program, and if I don't, please remind me, that we have 12 years to kick our carbon habit. And we can't do it overnight. It never works out well. And maybe, you know, going through school, you experienced it once and you said, I'm never going to do it again. Or maybe you just sort of live like to live dangerously. But that first time you were told, look, there's going to be a paper due, and it's the first day of the semester, you're going to have a paper due at the end of the semester, and I suggest you get busy on it. And somehow or another, you just don't, and you find yourself two nights before the paper's due going, what the fuck am I going to write? Oh, my God. And you try to sort it out as best you can. And you fuck up. Well, we can't wait until year 11 and 11 months and 30 days to decide that we want to get clean of our carbon habit. I said the other night we need a Marshall Plan for this country. For carbon emissions. There would be no better thing we could do than to engage right now in the process of putting wind turbines and solar panels in every community. We got a lot better chance of coming up with the technology to improve battery storage and transmission, which already some of it exists, than we would of coming up with some sort of engineering miracle whereby carbon is turned into not carbon. That's alchemy, not science. And if we were to do that, and if we were to become carbon-free, and if we transitioned to a renewable, clean energy economy, the first thing we would be able to do is to look at the Saudis and say, fuck
right the fuckity fuck off. I don't care if your people rise up and chop you into chutney, Prince. And it would be a cleansing day such as we cannot imagine. We'd never have to sell them another goddamn rocket. We'd never have to sell them another bomb to drop on some 7-year-old or some pregnant mother. If we were energy independent, we could walk away from that entire godforsaken, miserable shithole of a region and say, bye-bye. Because they would have been rendered irrelevant, because the only relevance they have ever had is tied to the oil that they produce. And that ain't gonna happen with this two-legged turd in the White House and a bunch of toilet bowl floaters propping him up in the Congress of the United States. So it's 9 minutes before the hour. We got to wrap up here in about 9 minutes so I can turn things around to fire up the campfire over at the Malloy place. We started the program with $667 to raise. We're down to $647 to raise. It's a little scary. So anybody that wants to jump in and help, you're mighty welcome to do so. While I've been blathering, some emails have rolled in. I want to share a few notes. Todd writes from South Carolina, Kanye, is Kanye a minstrel imitating a black guy trying to sound white, mocking a Negro from the 19th century married to a chimpanzee? I think he's just mentally ill, Todd. On the subject of Jamal Khashoggi, James in Illinois says, if this isn't the case made for living in sin, I don't know what is. Yeah, all because he wanted to have a traditional family values marriage. But the thing is, he had been, the Saudis had been trying to lure him back to Riyadh because they've been wanting to cut him up in pieces for a long time. But if they'd gotten him to Riyadh, they could have tortured him real good first. That's one of the mysteries around all this. Why kill him in Turkey when they could have enjoyed killing him in Riyadh? It's thought that things may have just gone horribly, horribly wrong. Ron in Raleigh says, the thing is, nothing's going to happen, and no one will pay for this outrage. Someone in the embassy has to have seen or heard something. 15 Saudi murderers roll into an embassy, kill a man, dismember him, put him in bags, and spirit away the pieces, and all anyone can do is shrug their shoulders. With what's going on in Brazil, we'll be seeing the same thing going on down there. You do know that there are American right-wingers who walk around wearing T-shirts showing a stick figure falling out of a helicopter now. And I think that the legend on the T-shirt says something like, Pinochet did nothing wrong. Now, these aren't Chilean fascists. These are American citizens. These are Nazis, American Nazis. And that's not made up. That's real. Our buddy David in Australia. From time to time, I play a game called Tropico on my computer, which is about an over-the-top Caribbean dictatorship and the way they interact with world powers and their own citizens. It is satire. They do over-the-top things for the laughs. Saudi hit squads are real. But it's totally what we do in Tropico, but we have the decency to make it quick and without the dismemberment. I cannot understand why we have no idea what satire is anymore when reality says, hold my beer. What ridiculous times. Surely it has got to get better. How low can we go? Don't ask, David, our buddy the angry architect in Australia. Don't ask, because the worldwide fascist movement will say, hold my beer and show us. Decency is operating in deficit spending right now. Randy in PA says, I wonder if the Saudis really want control of Yemen because then they don't have to defend the Straits of Hormuz for oil exports. Well, that's some damn fine geopolitical thinking there, Randy. Just build a pipeline down to the port and, And, hey, that'd be worth the lives of a few hundred, a couple of thousand, maybe a few tens of thousands. Of innocent lives. I mean, you remember the Iraq War. Hey, look, it may not all be about Trump. Sure, he's getting paid. But, well, there are some Saudi mollycoddlers in the Republican Party, and they always have been. You remember when George W. Bush kissed the king of Saudi Arabia right on the mouth? And all them good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians that get so upset about gay folks getting married didn't have a word to say about it. Of course, they wouldn't have said anything if he'd crawled under his robe. Ah, okay. I've heard that word, but I'd forgotten it. Ron and Raleigh says, you need to use the correct term. It's called bakshish, usually a small amount of money to curry favor. In Trump's case, a large amount of money, otherwise known as cost of doing business. Back to the emoluments. Arthur says, I agree with the idea of safeguarding against bribery. Kind of ironic and quaint considering Citizens United. Thanks, Justice Roberts. Thanks, Justice Kennedy, Citizens United. No, you've done enough. Leave something for the devil to do. No, not that devil. The literal, mythological one. Aye, what a political party the GOP is, says Arthur. Arthur wants to put a 10 for 10 mini challenge on the table. Thank you, Arthur. Arthur will match the next $10 that comes in, so that'll take us down to $627 to go in fundraising. Thank you, Arthur. Marty says, I believe Mr. Khashoggi's disappearance and likely murder was done, at least, with the knowledge and approval of Trump government, as the Pinochet regime in Chile got approval to detail and torture Charles Horman. Is Joyce still alive? I don't know. Oh, I think they know exactly what's going on, because remember, Mohammed bin Salman is BFFs with Jared. Over in that neck of the woods, they don't do shit like this without asking Mother May I over here. You remember the Glaspie memo? The Glaspie cable? Back before Bush War I, when our buddy then, Saddam, said, hey, I want to invade Kuwait. Mother May I and the Bush One regime said, hey, we take no position in Arab on Arab conflicts. Yeah. Subject line, backdoor to bribery. Scott says, hell's bells, Bob. I doubt the founders could have even imagined that the country would elect a grifter of Trump's caliber. Actually, Scott, they did. In fact, Alexander Hamilton's argument in favor of the Electoral College was that the Electoral College would step in case the people of the United States happened to fuck up and elect a grifter. And the Electoral College would step in and say, ho, 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 oh, no, hold on a minute. This is absolutely intolerable. We're going to override the popular vote to keep a madman and a mountebank and a poltroon from entering the office. Only it didn't quite work out that way. Regardless, Scott says, never mind a backdoor to bribery with this guy. They're invited to roll right through the Klieg-like lit main gate, complete with trumpet fanfare and beautiful banners flapping in the breeze. P.S. And didn't we also sell the Saudis a shit ton of new weaponry? P.S. Yes, we did. So that's our thorn in the side Thursday. Wait a minute. I got a little affirmation down here. I dig the affirmation. Had a note from Michael in Madison. More thoughts on Yeezy. We began with it. Let's end with it. Just for the record, I do think you're onto something about Taylor Swift. The song might have a subliminal Superman thing going on in Yeezy's head. Again, paging Dr. Freud. But his overall pro-Trump bullshit, I personally believe, is 99% due to Barack Obama's shunning him. I'm not sure when the White House scheduled this meeting with Kanye, but that certainly could be a direct reaction to Taylor Swift's voter registration push. One more thing, another psychological thing with Kanye that has always seemed clear to me. He's always been madly jealous of Jay-Z being married to Beyonce. Oh yeah, that's just pitiful. As you said, he was clearly obsessed with her. He had to settle for marrying Kim Kardashian. I don't mean to diminish her humanity, but it is what it is. She's his trophy. Courting and marrying her was his sad attempt to try to prove himself as big of a man as his mentor, Jay-Z. The father who rejected Kanye, Barack Obama, married a strong black woman with both brains and beauty, not unlike Beyonce. His makeshift father, dumbass Donnie, married, well, to be frank, a model who was only famous for removing her clothing. Just like Kanye's wife. Hashtag be best. Hashtag ye best. Michael. Thanks, Michael. And by the way, thanks very kindly. Arthur for the challenge. Hopefully someone will meet it. And that'll be it. So tomorrow night we'll be looking at 8:27. Wow. Yeah. So again, it's 2 minutes past the hour. I got to roll things up here and get things turned around for the Malloy program. They're going to be busy dealing with the after effects of the storm through Tuesday night. So I'll be there tonight, tomorrow night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. Tomorrow, of course, is Friday on the front porch. We'll do what we did last week and get the festivities started early. We'll fire up Friday on the front porch almost immediately after I begin the program, okay? So, again, a reminder, if you're going to listen to the Malloy program, and why wouldn't you, please feel free to jump in and listen at Progressive Voices. Listen on the Progressive Voices channel, okay? I'll thank you very kindly. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Kevin, and thanks to... thanks to our buddy Glenn. Thanks to Arthur. Thanks very kindly to Sean, new member of our community. Thank you, Sean. And thanks to all of you who helped keep the program on the air from night to night and week to week and month to month. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Steve from Georgistan, all-around great guy, moderating in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky for popping in and folding space as well. I guess that needs to be clarified, Randy. Yeah. Listen via Progressive Voices on TuneIn. Okay. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you to Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.